gentlemen, welcome to Insurance Town. I'm the Maker Keith Sharon and the host of this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am super pumped that you are here hanging out with us today because I got my friend Kelly Turner in here hanging out with us today, the Connecticut mortgage mom, someone I saw on social media. I thought she was doing some really cool stuff, and I knew it would relate back to my Insurance Town citizens. So make sure you check this out. And before you do, though, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Smart Choice. They've been a sponsor with me for several years now, and they just hit a major milestone of over 10,000 members. And they also have over 11 billion with a B premium in force. It's no wonder they are the fastest growing agency network. Hands down, they have agency friendly contracts, and they just want to help you to be the best agency owner that you can be. And it shows by their friendly contracts, by their great commission structure, by everything that they're doing for you. Make sure you go to smartchoiceagents.com and tell them the mayor sent you. You'll be so happy you did. Also, I can't go on without talking about another sponsor with me for a long time. My very first sponsor, Canopy Connect. They are the one-click solution to getting all those deck pages you need to quote your prospects. Guys, if they're not a part of your agency, if they're not a part of your customer journey, if they're not a part of what you're doing, whether it's personal lines or commercial right now, I don't know what you're waiting on. I implore you right now, please go to usecanopy.com/Heath or just usecanopy.com. Check it out and get your demo. What they do is a customizable link you send to your prospects or you send to your referral partners. They click the link. You get all of the information you needed uploaded into a dashboard. So you don't have to ask all those questions. You don't have to look for and hunt down loss runs or deck pages or anything like that. It's right there. Usecanopy.com. Also, my good friends over at Old School Marketing. Old School Marketing. Rusty is doing some big things over there. He's a former agency owner, and you're going to love talking to Rusty Dykus and his team over there because they have changed the game when it comes to direct mail marketing. It's not just about sending out direct mail. It's about sending it out with style. It's about sending it out with handwritten notes. It's about sending out a drip method. It's about sending it out in a way that's going to get attention and keep your phone ringing. They also do digital marketing. They do websites. They do all kinds of cool stuff. Oldschoolmarketing.com. O-L-D-E schoolmarketing.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of the way so you can hear my conversation with my good friend, Kelly Turner. Kelly Turner, what's going on, sis? How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am so good. It was good to see you. Life treating you well this morning?
Life is treating me well this morning. I'm up in Connecticut. We finally got a little bit of slightly sunny, warm weather, which we've not seen in weeks here. So it's been a joy.
There you go. Now, okay, this blue behind you, is this a backdrop or just like the color of the walls in your house or
that
your office?
Is the color of the wall in my office. This is my blue that if you see any of my social stuff, this is Total Mortgage Blue and I have it on everything.
There you go. You're committed. I saw your shirt's got the blue in it. Like you're committed fully.
I am committed fully. My branding is important to me and I brand all the time.
There you go. Love it. So is that something that has always been important to you? Is this Total Mortgage? Is that your business?
No, so Total Mortgage is a nationwide independent mortgage bank, independent. Based in Connecticut. We have branches in, I don't even know how many states. We're on the East Coast, Northeast is where we're headquartered, Connecticut. Branding has always been important to me. I believe in a personal brand. And so I also will always hardcore believe in whatever brand that I have. So when I joined Total 2 years ago, this was their blue. I loved it. And I said, well, let's just add this to everything that I do.
There you go. So you took that branding on and kind of took it with your own there. And so, I checked out your Instagram and some of the other stuff and you've got quite a bit of content out there. Is that something that you love to do? Is that like part of what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have three small kids. They're 6, 7, and 8. And I kind of came up in the mortgage industry.
Well, let's back up a minute. 6, 7, and 8.
6, 7, and 8.
There's like no breaks in there. You were busy for a couple of years.
No breaks. And my oldest is going to be 9. Okay. Which coincides with the 10 years that I've been in the industry.
Oh, wow.
So I joined the industry and kind of became a mom at the same time. So
yeah.
If you have kids and have a wife, you may know about Facebook mom groups. They're a thing.
Yeah.
We're all a part of them. And because I couldn't network and go to the happy hours and the stuff that happens in real estate in the evenings, which again, mortgages are a heavily male dominated field. It's a lot of guys.
Same in insurance. Yeah.
They're out at night. They're having cocktails at 5 p.m. Well, I was putting little babies to bed at 5 p.m. So I developed my sort of social circle on the internet, on Facebook, and contact creation was like a really easy transition for me. It started off with me answering people's questions in Facebook groups. And then people would say, well, could you make a video on that? You know, could you do a webinar for us? And it sort of just went from there, where now the vast majority of my business is self-sourced from the internet.
Wow. And I really want to dive into some of that, because, you know, whether it's mortgage or insurance or real estate or anything like that, I think that's, you know, we can all learn something from that. So I definitely want to get into that. Before we do, let's let the audience know a little bit of who Kelly Turner is, where you came from. You know, go back as far as you want, not creepy like birth or anything, but like as far as you want, and then lead me up to where you are today and what brought you to Total.
Sure. Upon graduating from college, I actually went into higher education. So I worked in the university space for almost 12 years, mostly in sort of student development or student services. So kind of advisory roles. I did some recruiting, sales, always helpful. I did admissions. I traveled and I did a lot of public speaking for the universities that I worked for. And I really loved it. And I was very passionate about it. I thought that that's what I was going to do forever. That's what all my degrees are in. This is where I was going to stay. And then 11 years ago, I bought my first home. And that was life-changing for me. My husband is a contractor. He had already purchased a home. He had a lot of experience in this. So when I sort of came in, I was excited, but completely unknowledgeable. I knew nothing. I didn't understand mortgages and amortization and interest rates and APRs. I didn't get any of it, which how many people, that's their experience, right? You buy a house, you don't know what you're doing. And my mortgage loan officer, whose name is Bob Zanlungo, and he actually now sits on the other side of my computer screen, was my loan officer. And I grilled this man. I cannot even tell you, for months. I had so many questions for him. I wanted to know why, and that's sort of my nature. I'm like a researcher. I want to know everything. So I grilled him hard. And then once I understood the process, I was like, man, we're all idiots. Why are we all 30? Nobody owns a home. All of my girlfriends were still renting. And I was like, oh, we're idiots. And here in Connecticut, renting is very expensive. So a two-bedroom apartment 10, 15 years ago was still $1,800 a month, $2,000 a month. Now it's $3,000, $3,500 a month up here. So it was very expensive. And I, upon closing on my house, convinced multiple of my girlfriends to buy condos and houses. I was like, you're dumb. Stop renting. So
I love that. You're dumb.
As time went by, Bob, who is now my business partner, was like, why are you not doing this? And I think I had the assumption that a lot of people have, that these industries are not professional. I was like, I have a professional job. I'm not going to become a salesperson. I'm not going to make commission. Right. And he was like, why don't you just get licensed, right? Just get licensed on the side. Well, that's a slippery slope, and it lasts 30 days. I was licensed on the side for 30 days and I quit my university job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 10 years. I haven't looked back. Now me and my business partner own a branch here in Connecticut. We have 12 loan officers underneath us. We've been at a couple different companies, so that's not uncommon in the mortgage industry. People get bought out, things change.
Yeah, I get it.
All that. So about 2 years ago, we landed at Total Mortgage. And I will tell you, especially right now, the mortgage industry is, I want to say, on thin ice, right? It's tenuous. We felt that the company that we joined was paying attention to what was happening in the market, and they were realizing that companies were being disruptors, and it wasn't what was happening in mortgages wasn't going to look the same a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and they needed to be on top of it. And so we A+ love our choice. It's a young, fun company that wants to be the change in the industry. So I've been here, and it's been the past couple of years have been an adventure in real estate, but it's been fabulous.
Yeah. The mortgage industry, the real estate, it's all kind of tied together with insurance as well. And, you know, the last 4 or 5 years for us as well in the insurance industry, it's been the same. It's been very tumultuous. Man, that's the biggest word I've ever used in my life at 8:30 in the morning. So, but yeah, so it's been a crazy ride for us as well. And, you know, I imagine you deal with some of the same struggles that we do when it comes to market, and because we're all kind of tied in the same space. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear, as you talk to some insurance people, whether we're talking to agents or, you know, CSRs, you know, customer service reps, things like that. I'm a firm believer, and I hope you are too. I think you are from our conversations in the past of, you know, we can't sell on price alone.
Nope.
And we've had too many people in both of our industries, whether it's Geico or Progressive or somebody like that, telling you price is so important. And it may be the same. You have your disruptors in your space that you only deal with price or only deal with rate. But is that something you guys deal with as well? And how do you combat that in the mortgage side?
Oh, man, every single day. You know, what's tough for us, and I think, you know, insurance really struggles with the same thing, is that the internet is a powerful tool, but yeah, it can be used for good and for evil. And people can go on the internet and look for things, and they can see a number, but they don't understand what's behind that number. And I have clients that I say this to all the time at the beginning of the process with me, is you can go on the internet and find a lower interest rate 100% of the time. There will always be a lower interest rate online. What are you paying to get that rate? And I don't necessarily mean in money. Sometimes it is money. There's points, there's fees built in, but you're also paying with your time, with your sanity, potentially with your real estate transaction. In can these loans get done, right? Is a lot of times you'll see these teaser rates online. People be like, oh, well, I saw a 6.5 with no points online. And I'm like, that's not what the market currently is at. So if somebody's offering you that, there's a reason for it. Again, you're paying for it one way or another. Can they close that loan? Are you actually going to get closed at that interest rate? And what pain do you have to go through to get it? And you know, that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand at the beginning. Now, we do a lot of rescue loans as well. And a rescue loan is where there's somebody under contract. They've been trying to get a mortgage with X company, again, often on the internet, right, and it's falling apart. And the problem with the internet and a lot of the internet lenders is, who are you calling? Who are you talking to? You're calling a call center. You don't have a loan officer necessarily. You don't have somebody who's advocating for you. And it's, once things start to fall apart, they often ghost, where all of a sudden you can't get your loan officer. You, where are we at? What's happening? And I will take those transactions over and close them. But I think that, you know, really trying to educate clients, and that's where I, with my education background, my stance in everything is education. And sometimes my education is, I will say to people, listen, you found a great deal and that's a reputable company, and I think you should take it, even if it's not with me. Sometimes it's, there's a program out there that, listen, that's a great program. I don't offer it. I think you should take it. Here you go. My job is to educate, because education is what makes people loyal to me. And education is really like the value that I have. Loan officers are all the same, right? That you work with loan officers, I'm sure. We all essentially offer pretty much the same thing. Our value is not in the product that we offer. It's in the service. It's in the education. It's in the relationship that we're developing with our clients. That's what we have to offer.
Yeah, you could substitute the word insurance producer or insurance agent for mortgage officer, loan officer, and say the exact same thing. And I preach it all the time of education, and you should always lead with education first, and then everything else will fall. You know, your content should be around education. Your, you know, sales process should be around education. Everything you do should be around education. So I'm right there with you on all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's where the content creation plugs in for me, is
that's
all, that is all education. Sometimes there's funny stuff, because who doesn't love some funnies on the internet? Yeah. But it really comes from that place of, if I can just educate people, and I sometimes have people ask me like, well, why would you give the milk away for free, right? You're giving your education away on the internet. People are watching. It doesn't mean they're going to use you. You're right. It doesn't mean they're going to use me. But if I can create educated consumers, my goal here, my job here is done. As long as people are educated, they are going to want to use me, because I'm educating them on the pitfalls of some of the other things they're finding on the internet.
I completely agree. And that's the same thing in insurance. And we have similar situation. Again, I love the, you know, the back and forth there. And I love the comparisons there, because we get those agents. And if you're listening right now and you're one of these agents, stop doing this. But they'll send out the postcard that'll say, you know, we ran your, you know, your rate, and you're going to be able to get insurance for $750 or whatever. They just make up a number and stick it on a postcard just to get people to call them and get a, you know, a quote on their insurance. And 95% of the time when they call back, you know, they're going to get a rate much higher than $750. And so we have the same situation and the same people that do that. It's a I guess it works because people are still doing it, but it's frustrating. So that being said, like, one of the big things, you know, as a former agency owner, I loved, and I still to this day talk to, even though I haven't sold a policy in 4 years, my mortgage officer, and I still talk to my real estate agent on a weekly basis. And we still have a text thread. We still talk. So talk to me about, do you have a team, so to speak? Do you have a referral partner in both those spaces, real estate, insurance?
Absolutely. So I'm actually licensed in multiple states. So I would tell you that I have this team in multiple areas. I have people in Florida, people in Vermont, people in Rhode Island, people in Massachusetts, and all the states that I'm licensed in. And I also have a variety of teams depending on the situation. So I have realtors and insurance agents and attorneys that specialize in REO or foreclosures. I have people that, Florida, I'm sure as you know, is a tough insurance market. So I have some insurance agents that specialize in the Florida insurance market, that specialize in insuring condos in Florida. So I really like to have my lights just went off in my office. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. That's okay.
There we go.
Oh, you're good.
The story, of life in here. I have multiple agents that specialize in something different, and they are able to provide me and my clients service based on those needs. But all of the people that I work with are my friends. And that's really important to me, is that if I'm going to refer somebody to someone, it's got to be someone that I would refer myself to. It's got to be someone. It's not because they're giving me something. It's not because I'm getting, a benefit from using them. It's really because we've developed a personal relationship. I feel vested in my referral partner's success, and I feel like they're vested in mine. And we want to provide the best experience for our clients that we possibly can. And that only works with communication. So I would agree. I have text threads. I have, GIFs and memes being sent back and forth. I have with all of these people, because they're all, if I'm working with an agent, and for us, and sort of the hierarchy of the real estate transaction is always right. Realtor, lender, insurance agent, attorney, and who you're getting your business from. Some transactions, it might be the realtor. Some transactions, it might be the lender. Some transactions, it's the attorney. Everybody has to feel like we're equals in these transactions, and everyone has to feel like everybody's contribution is important to get us to the closing table. And then everybody will give the same amount to our clients.
Well, in our space, you guys, the mortgage lender is like our best friend. Like, we want to get those referrals from you, because at the end of the day, you're the ones who control, where that goes. And so a couple of things I'd love to walk through if you can. If not, we'll edit this shit out. It'd be no big deal. But, some Mythbusters I'd love to go through for a minute. So you're old like me, so you know what Mythbusters is. That show hadn't been on in a while, but I love these. Okay, so, oh man, I don't know if we can do this right. We may have to edit this out. But a lot of mortgage people that we work with will say they have to, and maybe it's a state-by-state thing, they have to have three referrals or three different quotes. They can't just give one. Is that true?
So that is technically a RESPA rule. It is there. We are supposed to do it. I would say most of us do. But it's also a conversation that you're having with your clients about, should you look at multiple insurance companies? That's up to you as the client. This is someone that I work with very closely. I would encourage you to give them a chance, but also in our community, there's other people as well. It doesn't have to be quite as like, here are three people and please contact all of them. And I think the same thing happens with lenders and realtors, is we do need to do our best by our clients. And part of that is recommending people that we know give good service.
And so that being said, what's the best way, or what are you looking for? So you've got your team already. Let's say you got your team, and I've got insurance agents listening right now. Let's say that they're wanting to develop some relationships out there. What's the best way? Like, how's someone going to get in already? If you've already got that relationship, how are they going to get in?
Ooh, that's a great question.
What's the best way for them to do that?
So I've picked up the vast majority of my insurance agents actually in live transactions where the client has brought them to me. That's my favorite place to get them, because I'm immediately seeing someone in action. I'm seeing their work. I'm seeing what they do. And for me, like, my top three things that I need from an insurance agent is I need availability and communication, right? If I'm asking you for a binder, get it to me. Don't make me beg you for it. Don't make me explain to you the rules of what needs to be on an FHA loan, like stuff, because we sometimes get that, like, well, what do you need the deductible to be? Like, you should know this, right? This is everybody's job.
Exactly.
So communication is really important to me. Flexibility with dates. That's always hard. I sometimes will get agents that what day is closing? And I'm like, it's April 30th. And then we get to April 25th and we're like, okay, seller can't close. This is going to move to May 5th. And then, that's going to be really hard. And I'm like, I understand that because it's hard for me too, but let me deal with my heart and you deal with your heart and just let me know when you've got a solution, right?
That's when you guys need to work together, because the education on that would be helpful, because with insurance rates, they can change. So that would be when you have to go back and say, okay, Mr. Buyer or Mrs. Buyer, the insurance rate's going to be different now because we had to change the closing date. And it might go down. It could go up. Well, that's where they talk about it being difficult. So I think if y'all could do that education together on that. You have those conversations with your referral partners on educate me on how your process works, and I'll tell you how mine works.
Yeah, we do a lot of that. And part of that for me is expectation setting. And I think that is where sometimes insurance agents don't follow through for me, is I'm huge on expectation setting with my clients. So like for us, if we're going to push closing back, we have a rate lock that's tied to your closing date. So how long your interest rate is locked for. And I tell my borrowers upfront, I set the expectation, we have locked your rate until this day. If we, for some reason, are not going to close on this day, here's the expectations going forward. If it's a few days, this is what it'll look like. If this ends up a big delay and it's 2 weeks, this is what it'll look like. If it's a month, this is what it'll look like. So clients understand the expectations set ahead of time. And that, I think, is sometimes with those policy rewrites for date changes where the insurance agent doesn't always, they just, oh yeah, sure, here's your binder. It's $1,200 a year. We're done. And then now they're sort of explaining something that the client doesn't even know exists, right? They don't even know if my date moves, things change. Where if you had just set that expectation up front of, hey, listen, this is our binder for today. This is based on your closing date of X date. If you're not going to close on that date, we may have to rewrite your policy. And there could be changes. We can cover that then. But just know that these are date-oriented transactions, that this is all based on a date. So I think that's really big for me. And then probably the last thing is just being a partner in education for me. There's been a lot of changes in insurance in the last couple of months with carriers, and for us here in Connecticut, it's roofs. People are getting dropped left and right over.
Yes.
And I would not have known that except for I had one of my agent partners who called me. He said, I would like to schedule a time to come in and meet with you. I want to discuss roof condition with you. I want to show you some photos that you can see in listings to give yourself an idea. I also want to talk about carriers that are more flexible towards these roof issues and ones that aren't, and what these policies might look like. And
that
I
was
want
smart.
To you.
That was really smart on that guy's part, or ladies.
It was a guy and he's great. And it was so smart because now if I pull, because I pull open listings, right? That's part of what a lender does. Yeah. You send me a house to price up. I pull up a listing. I can now look, and my husband's a roofer, so it's extra helpful for me.
Yeah.
I can look at photos and say, we got a red flag here. This is fine for FHA, because people always go back to the lending side. Yep. This is not going to be an inspection problem for your home inspection. It's not going to be an appraisal problem, but this may be an insurance problem. And
100%,
I can now identify that, or I can look, I have property disclosures and it says roof age, because we have, not all states have this. In Connecticut, you have to have seller property disclosures where they're filling out a sheet saying, this is how old the roof is. This is how old the oil tank is. The roof says it's 34 years old. Like, time out. We got a problem. You're going to
have a big problem
coverage. And my agent educating me on that was huge. He educated me on the condo insurance issues. So there's some things going on with condo insurance because of the Surfside collapse in Florida. He educated me on that. And that to me, if you can make me sound smart to my clients and smart to my other referral partners, you're worth your weight in gold.
Dude, that's brilliant. I love that because, yeah, he's right on those roof ages, because it used to be 20 years. And now it went to 10. Now there's some carriers are 7 years. If you have a 7 years or older, then it's too old of a roof. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's
Who has the
roof.
Money to replace their roof every 7 years when it's 20 grand for a roof? It's crazy. So, yeah, I completely agree with that. And That's a great move. So insurance agents listening right now, that's a good move to schedule some time with the lender or two and just educate them on roof age even. You know, take that right out of that playbook and just steal that play. Love that. I think that's a great idea. Or social media content around roof or around, you know, educating what's going on in the marketplace.
Yeah. And I think that for me too, kind of on that note, is like, because I do content creation, anything that I'm, and my friends and family and referral partners know, is you could give me like one little nugget and now this has become content. So everybody is liable to end up in content if you give me information. And, you know, for my agents and stuff, when they do give me this information, I will be like, I'm going to grill you right now. I want you to send me articles. I want you to send me what you've got, because this, I'm going to make a video about it. And sometimes I will have my agents in the video if they're comfortable. Not everybody is, but the more information I have to share to my customers, the better I'm going to be in the long run. So anything that they can teach me, I'm always happy to know.
Yeah. So you talk about content creation. Tell me a little bit about what that's done for you and your book of business and how you've grown. Because I see you and you've shown me some things. We've talked about some things. You get a lot of business off the interwebs, as we call it, as old people.
I do. So I, again, kind of started in this internet world about 9 years ago when I was pregnant with my daughter. And I joined a community moms Facebook group here in Connecticut. And these women talk about everything. They talk about kids, houses, stuff. And people would sort of start to ask, like, hey, I'm thinking about buying a house. Does anyone have advice? And people would tag me in it, like, hey, Kelly can answer questions for you. And it sort of spawned from there. And now I'm in multiple of these groups in multiple states. And I sort of became like the mom mortgage expert. So my handle and everything is the Connecticut Mortgage Mom, CT Mortgage Mom, where it's sort of the blend of funny parental content with mortgage content. And I really have been able to turn this into a lead generation platform. And I think for a lot of people, it comes from a place of everyone likes relatability, right? So if you're on the phone with me, and everybody's on the go now, right? People aren't necessarily calling me like from their office from 9 to 5. They're calling me at 6:30 at night while they're stirring the Kraft mac and cheese at the stove and their kid is whining in the background. And people don't want to feel embarrassed about that. And so I always tell my clients up front, like, hey, you might hear my kids. I might hear your kids. This is our lives. Real estate does not happen 9 to 5 business hours. You're going to call me nights and weekends. I'm going to answer your phone on the baseball field and you're going to do the same thing. And that's okay. And it really has generated a community for me. And most of my realtor partners, my insurance partners are kind of all in this same space. So it's the millennial space, right? It's sort of us, you know, 25 to 40 year olds who are sort of doing the same thing. So that's what I've geared my content towards. And I self-generate the vast majority of my own business from social content.
Yeah, I think you're, especially in real estate, but I think in insurance and mortgage and all of that, you know, people, they can't go see a house at noon on a random Tuesday or at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to do those kind of things after hours. And people aren't thinking from 9 to 5 about their insurance rates or anything like that. It's usually, at least for me, it's like I'm driving on the way home from work. I call my wife to check in on things. And she's like, did you call about the insurance? I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't do that yet. So then I got to call my insurance agent or I got to call my mortgage guy or I got to call my realtor, whatever the situation is. I think it's the same thing in your world and all of our worlds of like, oh, crap, you know, I got to stop by the grocery store, call, get the insurance done, get gas, and I got to pick up two kids from cheerleading and basketball or football or whatever it is, and then get home, you know, all at the same time. You know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. And people want to feel like they're not imposing on you and they want, and I think, you know, the glimpse that people get into your personality through social media, you know, my clients feel like we're friends when we get started because they've already been watching my content. They already sort of see the jokes that I'm making, you know, and so they feel like there's sort of a camaraderie. And I really do feel like that with my clients as well, that like, we're friends, we're all in the same boat. Let's go together. And I think that social media really allows us to become people, right? Not just this, you know, nebulous mortgage person who's, you know, counting out dollar bills for me. Like I'm a real person, you're a real person, and I'm personally vested in your homeownership journey. And I'm personally interested in seeing you fulfill that. So I know you, I know who your kids are, I know who your spouse is, I know the name of your dog. You know all of that about me too, because it's in my content.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think what you brought up also is another big deal of like, having your own, not necessarily niche, but your own like persona, your own, as you called it earlier, branding with the CT Mortgage Mom. And I think that would be a big deal in our space as well. If you're looking at creating content, and has that been something that's really made a big deal for you? And, you know, let's wrap up with maybe telling the audience a little bit about, you know, how they could do that or what they could do to do a better job at that.
Yeah, I always sort of talk to the loan officers in my office about that. If you've ever had that great transaction, like have you ever picked up the phone with a client and you guys are vibing, right? Like the jokes are there, it's fun. You're like, yeah, I really like you. I want to be friends with you. And you'll have multiple types of those kind of clients. And I sort of always look at that as like, who are those people and what spaces are they inhabiting? And for me in my life, it is moms. That is who vibes with me. That's who I feel comfortable with. They feel comfortable with me as well. I do need people to be cool in hearing my kids on the weekends, right? Like, and I set that up again. Expectation setting is huge. I set up that up with my clients right from the very beginning. I say to them, listen, real estate doesn't happen 9 to 5. You're going to be making offers on nights and weekends. You're going to have to call, text, or email me on off hours. I want you to know that that's okay, right? My phone is available 24/7. That doesn't mean that I am. But call, send me the text, give me the call, send me the email when you have it, when you're available. If it's an emergency, if it's something that's time sensitive, I'll pick up. You'll hear from me. I will answer you. But I may say to you, hey, listen, I'm at softball practice right now with my 7-year-old. I will be done in 1 hour. I will be home in 1.5 hours and I will respond to you then. And people really appreciate that. And I think they appreciate sort of the candidness of it that like, you're so important to me as my client that I'm going to do this. So I want you to also just be respectful of it. And I think it sets up a great dynamic with my clients where they know that they're very important to me, but they also know that I, again, have a life and a family just like they do. And they'll get taken care of. And just like sometimes I'll call them and they'll be like, I cannot talk to you right now. I got a kid having a meltdown or I'm at cheerleading practice. And I'm not going to be like, oh, well, you're clearly not that serious. Like, no, everybody has these lives. So kind of getting into that niche and space has been very comfortable for me. And I think it's really helped grow my business. Now, this doesn't mean I don't work with people outside who are not moms or who are
right.
demographic. But that's definitely the content that I'm creating is sort of around this persona of people, you know, moms who are raising kids and the dads and,
I think that's awesome.
And partners who are with them.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. I love it. And obviously I found you on social media. So obviously there's a connection there and obviously, you know, it's working. So, and I appreciate you. I appreciate you spending some time with us in Insurance Town. And I would love, if anybody did want to reach out to you, because like you said, you're in different states and my audience is all over the country. Would you share some contact info, whether they want to talk to you about content or about maybe referrals?
Sure, absolutely. So my email is kturner@totalmortgage.com. Nice and easy. And you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook at CT Mortgage Mom. And I'm happy to chat with anybody. Again, content creation, mortgage-wise, I am licensed in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Florida.
Nice. I've got audience all over there. And I'm going to be finding you on TikTok. TikTok's my social media of choice. So I'm definitely looking for you there too.
Awesome.
But anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was a pleasure. It was great. What a great way to spend a morning.
There you go.